Amen. Could you find 2 Thessalonians in your Bible? We've covered the majority of our study together, and we've only got three chapters left here. And I trust that God will meet us today as we look to Him to teach and to lead, to show us where He wants us to go. 2 Thessalonians, we beginning at verse 1. Our text will be verses 1 through 4. We won't go through verse 5 as it's indicated in your bulletin. Pick up there next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you're able to stand, would you do so while I read the Word of God in your hearing? Beginning at verse 1, it reads, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. And finally, verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Amen. Father, remember us here. Draw near to us. Make your presence and power known as we yield ourselves to you. Our hearts lay open before you as the Bible lays open before us. Now, Lord, do your work in your people for your glory, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is suffering for Christ is not overlooked. Suffering for Christ is not overlooked. Every baby born into the world is actually born into a world where they will suffer. There are no exceptions. Every baby will be exposed to viruses, infections, allergies, system imbalances, and the list goes on. In this fallen world, babies are not immune. The same is true for the one who is born again as a Christian. Everyone born again as a Christian will suffer in this fallen world. There are no exceptions. Now, there are degrees of suffering for the baby born into the world, and there are degrees of suffering for the Christian born again. Though we have varying degrees of suffering, no one is exempt. We find this to be true for these new believers at Thessalonica. They were new believers. They were young in Christ. But they were baptized with suffering right away. Why would God permit it? God has put in every believer the ability, regardless of how young you are in faith, the ability to handle what He allows to come your way. Even the youngest of Christians has to learn to trust God not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Paul is writing this second letter to encourage these believers in their suffering. It's really interesting for those who, you know, with the modern doctrine today of no suffering, no difficulty in life. Life is to be easy. You're to be healthy. You're to have plenty of money. They don't teach and preach from First and Second Thessalonians. They don't preach from the books of the Bible that demonstrate that the Christian life, that suffering is normal in the Christian life. So in order to teach that kind of doctrine, you've got to jump around. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't jump around like that? And when He starts you in life, He takes you and He enables you to mature. He doesn't bounce you around and throw you. We shouldn't approach God that way. God is methodic. He's a good father. He's a good teacher. There's times that that He takes you through things you never would have chosen for yourself. But He says, I'm not going to take you around this. We're going through this one. That's the God of the Bible. Not the God that says, I'm going to make your life as easy as possible. So Paul is writing to encourage these believers while they suffer. See, God meets you when you're suffering. He never leaves you. But there's times that he draws so close to you that you know He's with me. So Paul was encouraging them in their suffering. But he was also writing to correct their wrong thinking. Because suffering can cause you to think wrong. Yes, it does. Yeah. That's the reason we need correction. God says our minds need to be renewed, not once. Isn't that true? There's things I need you to tell me over and over. And it's the same with all of us. So he's writing to correct their thinking, their wrong understanding, and their wrong lifestyle with regard to the return of Christ, with regard to the day of the Lord. And so we're going to learn with them how to have our thinking right as we suffer, and to have our thinking right as we contemplate the return of Christ. I want to mention two things today. And we'll journey on from here next week. Two things I want to say today. Two thoughts. We're going to talk about faithfulness, how faithfulness in suffering leads to thanksgiving. Observing people that are faithful as they suffer leads you to be thankful for what you see and observe. Don't you find that true? When you see somebody going through something and they don't give way, doesn't it encourage your heart? Just because a person has everything and life seems to be going their way, that doesn't mean that that's the only place of joy. You can have joy while you suffer. And it makes you thankful. So I want to talk about faithfulness in suffering and how that leads to thanksgiving. And then I want to talk about how faithfulness in suffering is worthy of commendation. Those two things and we'll be done for today. All right? You ready? Let's go together. Now, let's begin as we think about faithfulness in suffering and how it leads to thanksgiving. In verse 1, Paul begins by placing before them and before us. God is the creator and sustainer of the church. There would be no church if it weren't for God. The church was not man's idea. Though people are trying to portray it that way and those who are unbelievers and agnostics, they want you to think that the church was maybe the disciples or the apostles' idea. The church is God's idea. It has always been His idea. All right? He's the creator and sustainer. So Paul begins by saying, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, look, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? And then he says, grace to you and peace from who? God. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the point? He is holding before them the one who ought to be considered while you're suffering. God started this, Thessalonians. New hope. You and I need to remember, we didn't start this. Let me be very plain. New hope was not man's idea. Oh, God gives us the liberty to come up with names and those kind of things. But this church was not man's idea. Amen. Thank God he had some obedient people that obeyed him and did what he called them to do. But God is the creator. Right? Every true church is always in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And all blessings always come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how that's how he begins it. You are in God, and all of the blessings come from God. He created you, and he sustains you. Amen. God is the one who seeks and saves the lost. God is the one who sends missionaries. God is the one who sends evangelists. God is the one who has presented His. It's God's gospel. It's God's plan. It's God's purposes. So at the end of chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, it's of God that you are in Christ. It's of Him. Every thought of gratitude ought to be directed to God. He's the source. Thank God he used means, he used people, but it began with God. So he begins with these suffering believers by pointing them to God who began that church there. And then that's the reason he can say in verse 3 that God is the object of thanksgiving. You see that in verse 3? We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right. Thank God for you. Thank God that He has called you into the family. Thank God that He purposed to set up a church at Thessalonica. Thank God. God had saved Jews and Gentiles. God had saved poor people and wealthy people. God had saved males and females at Thessalonica. Listen to me. To suffer together. And it's important for us to understand. I want to say this without sounding, I don't want this to be defeatist or pessimistic. I just want it to be true. God saved you to suffer for Him. But then He didn't say you're going to suffer alone. Isn't that good? I'm going to give you brothers and sisters to suffer together with you. And so he's showing these believers that God has saved them to suffer together as brothers and sisters in Christ. God had given them love for each other. God had given them a reason to live. And God had given them unity in the Holy Spirit, just as he has done for us at New Hope. There are times that we need to take a few moments, not longer than a few moments. We need to meditate on what God has done for us. It'll make you more thankful. If you're always contemplating on what you want God to do, you won't be thankful for what He's already done. You see, that'll make you ready to praise Him if you think about what He's already done. God has done enough for us to praise Him forever. Is that true? If He never does another thing, He's done enough to be praised forever. God did enough for the thief on the cross for him to praise Jesus forever. Surely for you and I, you can see that He's done so much more. We've got so much to thank God for. While you suffer. You see? You got to be careful that your theology doesn't lead you to say, I'm going to thank God when this is over. You got to learn to thank God while you suffer. Paul thanked God for every brother and sister at Thessalonica. New Hope, we need to do the same. I hope to convince you in the next few minutes that every one of us ought to be thankful for every other one of us in Christ at New Hope. If a soul is special to God, they ought to be special to us. Is that true? So faithfulness in suffering leads to thanksgiving. The last thing I said I wanted to talk to you about is that faithfulness in suffering is worthy of commendation. You're looking at verse 3 of chapter 1. One of the things that Paul was commending these suffering saints for was growing in faith. So suffering... Faithfulness while you suffer is worthy of commending. And so Paul is going to commend them for growing in faith while they suffered. You see that? Look at verse 3 again. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. Paul had been concerned and prayed that they would continue the gospel work in faith during this time of suffering. You remember that when we looked at 1 Thessalonians? Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just a reminder, because I know it was a number of weeks ago. Paul was concerned that the gospel work would go on in faith. He was concerned that suffering not become so dominant in their thinking that they would give way and not carry on the gospel work. So he says this in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass and just as you know. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith. Now look at this. For fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. He was concerned that suffering would cause them to begin to give way from their labor in faith, their work for Christ in faith. Look at verse 10. And that's chapter 3, verse 10. He says, as we pray earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face, and supply what is lacking in your faith. He was concerned that suffering not distract and inhibit them from their work and faith. Suffering is like fire. The Bible oftentimes refers to trials and suffering as fire. But suffering like fire had tested the genuineness of their faith. But like pure gold, fire cannot destroy it. Fire does not destroy pure gold. It only removes the impurities. And so God says, well, let me show you. Turn to 1 Peter. God says this about our faith and the genuineness of our faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Look at this. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith is to be tested, but it's for our good. James says it this way, count it all joy when you encounter trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Don't give way. Let endurance have its perfect result so you can come forth from this. Conform more to the image of Christ. Trials are for our good. So don't, the idea here is don't give way because it gets hard. God is at work. And so Paul was commending them that they didn't give way in their faith just because it got hard, just because the fire was intense. Paul affirms and encourages this church because they are growing in faith. Listen to this statement that I wrote for myself. Just listen to it. Suffering should not cause the believer to trust and obey God less. You understand what I'm saying? Suffering should not cause the believer to trust and obey God less, but rather it should cause us to trust and obey God more. You see, trials begin to cut off all of your natural ways out. When you look at Israel, when they knew that they didn't have any other way out, what did they do? They called. They cried to God. That's what trials do. You don't trust God less. You trust Him what? More. I don't want to do less than what God says. I want to do more because He's proven to me I'm your only way out. Trials do that for you. Trials show you God is your only way out of this. Trust and obey Him. You see, your lack of trust and your lack of obedience got you in this mess. Don't keep going that way. Learn to trust and obey Him more. We all must learn to grow in trusting God when life and circumstances are difficult. Amen? We all must learn to grow. The next thing He commends them for is increasing in love. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Paul had not only been concerned that the gospel ministry would be affected by suffering, he was concerned that their love for each other would be affected by their suffering. He was concerned and he prayed about the relationships during this time of suffering. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians again. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. He was concerned about their relationships. He's praying for them here in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. Go to chapter 4 and verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Go over to chapter 5 and look at verse 15, I think it is. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Suffering can cause believers to respond to each other in some unloving ways. And we all know by experience that's true. Suffering causes you to think wrong at times. Suffering causes you to act wrong at times. Suffering can cause you to say wrong things to people at times. And so the Word of God says, beware and prepare yourself, because all of you are going to suffer, and you need to know how to handle suffering without giving way and being unloving. Now listen to me. He's saying this to the family of God. Suffering is going to come among us, and we're going to have to learn how to suffer together without being unloving to each other. Suffering can cause believers to respond to each other in some very unloving ways. Cause people to be impatient. Suffering can cause people to be unkind. Suffering can cause people to be jealous of each other. Suffering can cause people to be arrogant toward one another. Suffering can cause people to be bitter toward one another. But look at this. Suffering had caused these believers to see their need for each other. That's the way it ought to work. Right? Suffering had caused them to see their need for each other, and it had caused them to appreciate one another. Suffering had caused them to grow in patience. You see, this brother or sister is having a rough time. And rather than scold them, I'm going to be patient with them. This brother or this sister is going through some severe difficulty. You see, until you've been sick, you need to be careful how you judge others that are handling life while they are sick. Until you've had problems with children, you need to be careful how you judge others who are going through family problems. You see? And don't be unloving and unkind. And don't get jealous of someone because God has chosen to give them a great blessing. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Thank God for that. Don't let jealousy and envy enter in. You're suffering. It's getting rougher for you, but God breaks through and gives someone a bonus over here. Praise God for it. Because if they love God, you know what they're going to do? They're going to turn right around and invest it in the kingdom. Which is going to benefit who? You. Isn't God good? So he says, love one another when you're hurt. Be patient with each other as you go through difficulties together. Be kind. Let humility. There's times that we got to correct each other, but do it in humility. Because you know what? You might be next. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Isn't that right? That's just right. We also must learn to grow in love for one another when circumstances of life are working against us. Don't be impatient with each other. Don't be rude and bitter. Be gracious and kind and compassionate and forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven you. It's one thing that we as pastors have been talking through in these recent months. There's a tendency in the church to think that the solution for every problem, there's only one solution for every problem. You address all problems, step 1, 2, 3, bah, 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 and that's it. No, God says, all of my children are individuals. Isn't that the way it is in the family? You can't handle each child the same and expect to get the right result. Isn't that true, parents? Each child has to be handled on an individual basis. God says, if you've got that much sense in your family, do the same in mine. Yeah. Increase in love. Suffering should cause us to increase in our love for each other. And then the last thing there is perseverance. Second Thessalonians 1:4. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Perseverance. Perseverance is the result of growing in faith and increasing in love. You see it? If you're growing in faith and you're increasing in love, you're going to persevere. You keep on. Because the more you grow in faith, the more you want to grow in faith. The more you increase in love, the more you want to increase in love. Perseverance is a result of these two great graces being worked out. So Paul gladly told other churches about these new believers bearing up and holding out under severe pressure, severe persecution and affliction. By the way, let me just mention this in passing. Persecutions, the meaning of persecutions is trials that and troubles that you experience simply because you are a Christian. There are difficulties that come in your life solely because you are a Christian. Afflictions are general trials. They're happening to everybody. But they are persecutions that come because the world and people know that you are a Christian. And so Paul is commending them for persevering under both. Even though you know you're going through injustice and difficulties and trials, because people know you are a Christian, I praise God that you didn't give up. You didn't give way. He even referred to them as a model and an example for other churches. Isn't that amazing? This little church with these new believers, he's going to big churches and saying to them, you ought to be like them. See, God is not impressed with numbers. Quantity does not impress God. It's the quality of our hearts and our lives. Quality. They would not give up. They would not renounce the faith. And they would not pursue an easier life. When my son Daniel was younger, when he was in his pre-college years, he was an athlete. Played soccer and basketball and track. And, I'd watch the coaches. Coaches take these athletes, and they'd know how to motivate these athletes to extend themselves to the point of exhaustion. A good coach knows how to get a player to exert themselves. And you'd watch these players. They'd be tired, but they push further for the coach because the coach is motivating them. And so they'd run a little hard, run a longer line drill. You know, they're hurting in the stomach. I know I'm talking to some athletes. You know how it gets you. I remember when it's a sad thing when you ain't exercising a while. You try to work out, you start getting that lead. You get that lead taste in your mouth and all these problems develop. But I'd watch these students, and you know they were hurting. But for the coach, they were willing to stretch it out a little longer. The coach and the pain was there. You could see them. These players were hurting. But the coach would commend them when they'd done a good job. And he'd reward them with playing time. See, the coach is watching you. Even when the main coach wasn't there, he had assistants. And assistants give a report back to the coach. So you thought you were being overlooked, but the coach finds out who's faithful. The coach knows who's been faithful even when it hurt. The coach knows who did their best in pain. It's the same is true in the kingdom of God. God has called believers as athletes to run the Christian race. Called us to run it with endurance even when it's painful. Is that right? The Holy Spirit knows how to comfort and motivate us when we face difficulties in life so that we will not give up. He expects us to grow in trusting God even when life is painful. Grow. Grow when it hurts. By the way, Peter and some of you Johnny and some of you phys ed people, you know that the only way a muscle grows, you got to tear a muscle for it to grow. You got to do some, we don't think of it this way, but that muscle has to have some damage, some painful damage done, then it's going to repair itself and grow. It's the same way in the Christian life. We don't grow without pain. But God, He's the balm of Gilead. He knows how to heal when you've been hurt. And so that you come through it, what? Stronger. That muscle is stronger once it's been torn and repaired. Hallelujah. And so God takes us through some painful circumstances in life, not to make us weak in that sense, but to make us strong in Him. He expects us to grow in trusting God even when life is painful, to increase our love for one another, never give up while we suffer for Christ. The Lord is watching us run. You believe that? He is. The Lord is watching us run. He's watching us run this Christian race. He commends you for your progress when you're doing what He's called you to do. And He's going to reward you in the end. Be faithful. Be faithful. How is your suffering? How is suffering and difficulties in your life affecting your response to God? Would you say that you respond in faith when you're under pressure? When you're under pressure, would you say that you trust God without fear? You trust God without unbelief? You trust God without worry? Would you say when you're under pressure, you trust God without looking for the easy way out? How does prayer affect your prayer life? Suffering. When you're suffering, how is your prayer life? Does your prayer life suffer when you suffer? If you are growing as you suffer, then I commend you, my brother and sister. Just as Paul commended these believers at Thessalonica, it's a tremendous blessing for someone to grow in faith and increase in your love while you suffer. However, if you know that you're not handling the pressure in your life well, it's time just to be honest with God. You know why? He already knows. If there's anything that a Christian knows, you know God knows the truth. If you know that you're not handling the pressure in your life well, be honest today. Not only does God know the truth about us, you know what's so great? He's willing to forgive those who will humble themselves and admit it. He's willing to forgive you on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ. He'll give you grace and power of the Holy Spirit to handle any difficulty in faith without giving up and without losing heart. He'll teach you how to love others when you are suffering, how to love others when you are hurting. Jesus will make you thankful for all of your brothers and sisters who have been called to run this race with you. You got to trust Him today. And I got a word for my friends who are not Christians, because I know that in this meeting today, there are people here who are not Christians. And for my friends who are not Christians, you have a wonderful opportunity today. Do you believe that? Jesus offers His life and His death to you. That's a tremendous opportunity. And He offers it to you as a sacrifice for your sins. Jesus offers Himself to you today so that you will not have to pay the penalty, the eternal penalty for your own sins. Jesus offers His resurrection to you today as a guarantee that God has been satisfied with Jesus' death for you. Will you believe Him, my friend? Doesn't matter how old you are. You're never too young or too old to believe the gospel. See, my friend, this is good news for you today. If you can not hear me with your ear, but if you can hear me with your heart, if your heart says, "Yes, Lord, I know I'm outside the kingdom. I know I'm outside of this place where other believers are. And Lord, I don't want to be here any longer." But you've got to believe Jesus and what He offers. You've got to believe that He will save you. Will you trust Him for salvation today? Do not delay. Do not wait for another day, because today is a wonderful opportunity for you. And if you are looking for a church where you can fellowship and grow in these graces that we've talked about, we invite you to join us as a member. There's no need in you trying to run alone. You might as well join us and let's just run together. Doesn't it work better that way? You get out and you try to run by yourself and you just don't have motivation. But when you're running with somebody, it has a way of motivating you. So we'd love to have you join us as a member if you're contemplating joining a church. Father, thank You for grace and mercy. Thank You for helping us to see that a life of ease is really not the pathway to growth. Thank You for helping us to see today that whatever we suffer for Christ is not overlooked. For Your eyes see and You know it all. So would You enable us by Your grace and mercy to grow in our faith, to grow and increase in our love for one another, and to persevere to the end. For this we give You thanks, because our hope is in You, and we know that You have not and will never fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just take a moment and bow together.